Welcome to Just One Q. I'm Dr. Melissa Horn, a diversity, equity, and inclusion advocate. In this podcast, I chat with industry experts and thought leaders about the latest trends related to diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace. Each episode, I ask just one question tied to current events. The goal is to leave you with the tools that you need to drive change in your own life, both personally and professionally. Now, the topic of wellness is becoming increasingly pervasive in the DEI space. And most often when we think of wellness, we think about wellness as it pertains to the person. We think of personal wellness. But as my guest today will reveal, if organizations are really interested in creating high impact and improving performance, then we need to broaden the idea of wellness to focus on things like organizational wellness and community wellness, in addition to personal wellness initiatives. So for today's question, I'm asking, how can or how does a focus on wellness enable high performance in organizations? And to answer this question, I'm joined by Sarah Hope Marshall. Sarah is the founder and principal at Profound Hope Industries. She's an accomplished speaker and experienced executive. She brings vast diversity and social impact experience, having spent almost two decades in various forms of community development work. Sarah earned her MBA from North Park University in 2010, where she, with a self-designated concentration in community development. Her professional resume includes work in direct service, faith-based organizations, community organizing, and social enterprise before becoming in economic empowerment work in 2012. She's also currently completing a Master's of Liberal Arts degree at the University of Chicago, serves on the Illinois Comptroller's Bank On Advisory Committee, and continues to consult for financial institutions involved in community development. Sarah's perspective as a person living with PKU, which is a rare and lifelong metabolic disease, informs her presentations on diversity, equity, and inclusion, leadership, and authenticity. Sarah, I'm so glad to have you today. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So Sarah, I know, you know, we've previously talked about the idea of wellness and how wellness, how a focus on wellness can enable high performance in organizations. And I know that you have a really unique take on that. So I'm going to turn it over to you and tell me, what does that look like? What does wellness look like in organizations?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm going to start with defining wellness a little bit from a personal level too. My story comes from being born with a rare disease. I was born with a rare metabolic disorder. So health was a really common thread throughout my entire life. But I also did a lot of community impact work. And there are numerous conversations that have grown over the past decade around financial health and financial wellness. And so there's this concept of health in society that we take for granted a little bit. And so I think it's important to define what health and wellness are and how they're the same and how they're different, because they are two different things. I think when we hear the word wellness, we often think of Instagram influencers or fitness coaches or somebody selling a product to make you more marketable or more beautiful or any type of thing that society has set a standard for around an ideal sort of objective as a person. And health is still important because it is the foundation of wellness. So physical health is something that I never want to leave out of the picture, because when a person is eating well, sleeping well, getting proper rest, not burning themselves out at work, and moving their body, they feel better and they're able to perform better, including when they go into the workplace. So wellness is not neglecting health, but it is not the same as being a healthy and fit person. It's not a body size or a body shape or a specific fitness level. What I like to describe wellness is as something much more profound, that wellness includes knowing who you are and understanding your story. It means having the ability to forgive, to speak up for others, to advocate for yourself and others. It's sort of a state of mind that allows a person to build bridges and to be at peace with themselves. It makes the way for diversity and inclusion, because a person who is well understands the world as a big place and a place where there's lots of opportunity, that if you're well, you don't have to be afraid of difference or be afraid of somebody who doesn't look like you or doesn't have the same abilities as you or doesn't speak the same language as you. It can accommodate all of those things. And so we sort of have to keep in mind that there is a really key difference between health and wellness, and sort of put this frame of physical health aside not completely, because it is a goal, but to think about these two separately, in that we're aiming for wellness. We're not aiming for physical fitness or physical health or weight or size or outward appearance. That's completely different. But what I like to teach people about is how personal wellness, organizational wellness, and community wellness all interact. And that's a really big topic. So just wondered if there's anything that you wanted me to expand on from what I'd sort of just mentioned.
Yeah. So I think that's really interesting. I think it's really good to level set there, because we do often default when we think of wellness to fitness and health. I'm glad that you started us there to say, here's what, you know, wellness looks like. What we're hearing a lot in the DIB space is that, okay, wellness is important for employees, for a good employee experience, for performance. But when we think about wellness just at the person level, I think we miss the opportunity to look at how organizations can maybe look at organizational wellness. And then I know that you're really passionate about the link between organizations and the community as well. And so, you know, how all three can intersect to really help an organization sort of perform at its highest level.
Yeah, perfect. So let's talk a little bit about how the three intersect or interact first. Mm. So we're talking about personal health and personal wellness. And I mentioned that if a person is physically healthy, they're just performing better in all aspects of life. So if a person is prioritizing their personal wellness and their state of mind, they're able to show up to work better and contribute to the organization better. But that goes both ways, because if you have ever had a job that you don't like, or you feel like the environment is toxic or just not ideal for your skill set, it can be incredibly draining. It's really difficult to go to work and feel like work is taking a lot out of you and then go home and feel physically well. I've been at that place in my life. And during those times, I just didn't feel like I had energy to give to anything creative or to do anything really expansive in my life. So when a person's physically well, they can contribute to the organization better. And that also goes the other way, because an organization that prioritizes their employees' physical wellness gives them the space and gives them the opportunity to really take that space and show up to work well. So there's a benefit to an organization just being a good organization and a good employer that has all kinds of benefits for the organization's bottom line. Turnover is absolutely one of the most expensive things that an organization can go through. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's fair turnover and turnover that sometimes needs to happen because people have hit their peak or stagnated. But unwanted turnover can, depending on the person's role, cost the organization up to a year of impact. So retaining employees is one of the key ways to drive organizational performance. And that takes a couple of things. One, it takes leaders who understand the personal wellness aspect, because that shows up as authenticity and advocacy and the ability to engage in conflict, not to avoid conflict, but a healthy work environment will engage in some level of healthy conflict where different ideas and different voices are brought to the table and are heard, and people who have opinions that aren't always in leadership roles or aren't always on front lines. Mm-hmm. We have a tendency in organizations to listen to executives first, whereas people on the front lines often have the clearest perspective as to where the organization's pain points are. So that requires organizations prioritizing leaders who've really invested in their own personal wellness as well, and have embraced DEI and diversity, equity, and inclusion. And when an organization can do that, it then has the capacity to make an impact on the community that it's serving, because organizations and their brands are really reflections of the internal culture of the organization. It's really hard for a brand to get further than its employee engagement or its own employee culture, because then employees don't really believe what you say you're doing in the community. If you say you're giving XYZ to these diversity efforts, but your own DEIB efforts internally are kind of in disarray and not really moving forward and not really speaking to what an organization is saying externally, there's going to be a barrier because the organization is not acting authentically. And then when an organization can move to that community level and get their employees on board, they can begin to make an impact in their community. And that can either be the community where they're located. Mm-hmm. And that's really key for some organizations. And more we're seeing organizations go remote. So sometimes community is dispersed and all over the globe or all over the country or all over the state. And so the issues they might be tackling might be different, but community strength then goes back and plays a role in personal wellness, because when you're in a strong, thriving community, you can go further as an individual. So it's kind of like this whole ball of interrelationships that can't really be separated, but sometimes in our personal lives and in our organizations, we think these are different segments where really they're intertwined and inseparable.
Great teams fuel great business. In the office, on the road, in the field, and around the world, your people are working together to make it happen, to make something new, to do something better, to delight customers again and again. At Dialectic, we believe that even the best teams can get better. Dialectic is a learning company obsessed with helping teams reach their potential. Using person-centered, empathetic design and social science research methods, we build digital and in-person training that helps your people build habits that unlock enthusiastic collaboration and true belonging. For example, Learning Snippets is a diversity, equity, and inclusion micro-learning program that helps your people build inclusive habits in 3 minutes or less. Your team can practice living your organization's values with off-the-shelf programs like inclusive leadership, gender identity, or offsetting racial bias. Or let Dialectic design a solution tailored to your needs, from digital transformation and difficult conversations to disaster preparedness or design thinking. Learn more about how Dialectic could help unlock your team's potential at dialectic.solutions. And if you want to see how Learning Snippets puts DEI concepts into action, you'll find the link in the show notes. And now back to the show. I'd love for you to talk a bit more about sort of the idea of the way that organizations can impact community wellness. Maybe an example of sort of some of the work that you do, because I know that, you have a rich history of community development. And for folks who are thinking like, I really like the sound of this, like, yeah, I like the idea of community wellness, but what does this actually look like in practice, or what, what sorts of things could my organization be looking to do? I'm glad that you mentioned that, remotely, that's also becoming a challenge, because sure, we're located in Guelph, and we have a physical office. We didn't for a while during the pandemic. And what would that look like? How can we impact our community? So I'm going to turn it back to you. Yeah, I'd love to hear more about what community wellness looks like and how that ties back to organizational wellness.
Yeah, I think I would use the phrase that people use a lot, whereas it's simple, but it's not easy. Mm. The real key to engaging in community wellness is understanding the community at a very basic level. So every community has barriers or challenges that it has to overcome that are unique to it. In my case, living with a rare disease, there's specific policies that if they were passed would make people's lives easier. Access to healthcare and health insurance is a big barrier in the rare disease community that I consider myself part of. I have a really long history in community development finance. And so those examples might be things like small dollar loans for emergencies to avoid payday lenders that charge over 400% interest so that people can build savings. And so every industry is going to have some unique community challenges that it can address. And there's a tendency in organizations specifically, and I shouldn't say specifically in for-profit organizations, but in organizations that operate as businesses rather than nonprofits, to lean a little bit more heavily into charitable donations and philanthropic efforts, whereas sometimes they're just a step away from making a real community impact. And the real key to that is the same thing that's key within the organization and building a strong organizational culture, and that is learning to listen. So learning to listen to what the community is saying and beginning to identify the issues with the community itself in order to do something that solves problems for that community. And we could take all kinds of different examples from different types of businesses of initiatives that have been undertaken, particularly in the past year or two, as organizations have really had their eyes open to issues around diversity, equity, and inclusion, particularly in the US around the civil rights protests and the George Floyd homicide of 2020. There's been a lot of attention on making a community impact and what that looks like from an equity lens. That really starts with listening and bringing people on board, which goes back to the servant leadership that I talked about, which starts with personal wellness, which starts with understanding your own story and your own journey and where you came from, and really kind of embracing all the things that you need to do to keep yourself centered and balanced and grounded so that you can make space for other people, so that you can go into work with a collaborative approach and you can go into a community with a collaborative approach and then begin to address issues. The one thing about businesses is that they are anchor institutions in communities, whether they realize it or not. And some segments of the population will push back and take the Milton Friedman approach and say that businesses' only goal is to represent stakeholders and to make money for stakeholders. But anytime a person, an organization is part of a group or part of a collective, there's an impact happening. And so whether you want to have an impact or not, you do, organizations do. And it's a matter of understanding what that is and showing up in that space that can be, that they can be strong in. Tech companies might be better at doing STEM training, where as a fitness company might be better at doing something in the healthcare space. But it's again, going back to talking to the people, not only that you're serving your customers, but the people who are impacted and influenced by your presence. And those are two different things. And it's an important distinction, related but separate.
I like what you mentioned about often it's, you know, we're involved in philanthropic stuff or we're giving charitable donations. But what does that one step further look like to really sort of make a difference? Because I think people do get caught up on the, you know, here's an avenue for employees to donate to this cause. So if we're thinking about sort of this cycle of, or, you know, personal wellness feeds into organizational wellness, and organizational wellness can feed into community wellness can also feed back into personal wellness, maybe close that loop for us, sort of that, you know, how personal wellness and community wellness, especially if we're looking at through the lens of work and being able to, while you're at work, actually make a difference in your community. How does that look, or what could that look like for an organization?
Sure. And I can give a pretty simple, concrete next step to make things easy. So when an organization is doing some type of outreach effort, one thing that it can change or shift is to do some type of direct service volunteerism. There are people like me who've spent almost my life's work in community impact, and so have been on some of the front lines of some of those stories. For example, in the financial services industry, I've seen people try to open bank accounts with change because they didn't have dollars to do that.
Right.
And seeing those types of experiences are really what begins to bring people along. I like to say that understanding people's stories is the strongest thing that we can do to build bridges. But we have to have an opportunity to interact with those people. So for example, if your organization is thinking about donating to a homeless shelter, maybe the first step is really to have employees do some direct service work in that homeless shelter for 3 months, you know, to actually get to know the people in the homeless shelter and actually understand how they can partner with that homeless shelter in a more holistic way rather than giving money. And nonprofits need the money, they need unrestricted grants. So those donations are really important. But when you begin to build those cross-sector relationships and collaborations, you can go a lot further and you can uncover opportunities that you wouldn't otherwise. But the first step is really just being with the people that you're trying to serve and hearing where they came from. There's some phenomenal stories from every single community, and you really begin to understand how much capacity and strength people have at all levels of society. But it just requires that relationship building. So I would encourage companies to start doing direct service volunteerism as a first step and see where that leads.
I think you mentioned something else. Obviously, monetary donations are really important, but often what, you know, rather than assuming there are certain things that organizations want or that groups of people want, once you actually talk to the folks that you're intending to help in sort of in any way, whether it's like within an organization, it's like, we want to start an ERG for this group, or, you know, we should do this. When it comes from that bottom up, when you actually hear the needs, it's often, you know, you find that you're not quite aligned. And you actually may have the resources, or you may be able to help, as you mentioned, like find a cool partnership opportunity or collaborative opportunity that you didn't realize was there. And one that could be sustained over a long time as well, versus the, you know, obviously a one-time donation is fantastic, but if there's opportunities for longer term partnerships to really make an impact, I think that's a really important point that you've highlighted there.
Absolutely.
I want to give you the last word, Sarah, because there's so much that we could pull from the conversation. For folks listening today and they're thinking about wellness, you've really sort of given us an opportunity to rethink. At least you've given me also an opportunity to rethink of how I've defined wellness, how I've understood wellness. But what's one thing you'd love for our listeners to take away from our conversation?
I think the biggest thing that I would encourage people to take away is that every person's story matters. And I said that a minute ago, but that starts with you as an individual. Your story really does matter. And I like to tell people, everybody has a different impact. I can do things and say things and talk to people that someone else wouldn't, and vice versa. And so all of those stories collectively make up our community impact and make up who we are as a society. And again, we have a tendency in a very noisy society to feel like our voice isn't loud enough or heard enough, or that we have to be on social media all the time, constantly tweeting or constantly posting on LinkedIn. And sometimes our impact and influence is right where we are with people that we are, and engaging person to person and story to story. And that's true at every level. Every community has a story. Every organization has a story. We're made up of stories and experiences and opportunities to influence. And starting where you are is really just the key. Just knowing who you are, what brought you where you are, and where what that means you can do based on those experiences is really just 101 of having an influence and making a bigger impact wherever you are.
I love that. I promise I'd give you the last word, but I really like the idea that it can feel daunting when you're in this space. It can be daunting when you're just starting out, if you're just sort of on you're beginning your DEI journey, to feel like, how do I make a difference? What is, you know, what can I do? What can I, you know, these problems seem so large. But when you bring it back to the person, when you bring it back to the community level, you know, thinking about how you can make an impact one-on-one, person to person, it makes it feel like there's somewhere that you can actually start. And as you're saying, you can, right? Sarah, for those who are interested in learning more about your work or who want to keep up with you, where should they go?
Sure. My website is profoundhopeindustries.com. And there's more about my work and my writing and speaking opportunities there as well.
Perfect. And we will include Sarah's link in the show notes as well. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really glad that we were able to have you on the show, because I just thought, you know, when we first met, that you had such an interesting approach to the diversity, equity, inclusion work. I just love that idea of the interconnectedness of the personal wellness, the organizational wellness, and the community wellness. And I think it's something that we don't often think about, and a much needed perspective and a much needed conversation today. So I want to thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
And for those of you, if you have your own questions or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. Until next time, I'm Dr. Melissa Horn, and this is Just One Cue.